weather any elephants, asked Sam, forgetting his fear in his eagerness for news of strange places. No, no olifants. What are olifants? Said Gollum. Stan stood up, putting his hands behind his back, as he always did when speaking poetry, and began. Grey as a mouse, big as a house, nose like a snake, I make the earth shake as I tramp through the grass. Trees crack as I pass. With horns in my mouth, I walk in the south, flapping big ears. Beyond count of years, I stomp round and round. Never lie on the ground, not even to die. Olifant am I, biggest of all, huge, old and tall. If ever you'd met me, you wouldn't forget me. If you never do, you won't think I'm true. But old Olifant am I, and I never lie.
Thank you. You've just heard Woodland with their song Rose Red from Seasons in Elfland. Well, hello and welcome to the Voice of Middle-earth. I'm Green Man Took. Thank you for joining us on this journey celebrating J.R.R. Tolkien and all things Middle-earth, along with spiritual and ecological musings and music. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about the Green Man archetype. But first, I'd like to continue playing some music by Bo Hansson from Lord of the Rings, which was recorded in 1970 and released on Silence Records in Sweden. This is music that was, of course, imaginative and inspired by the Lord of the Rings. We're going to hear Lothlorien, Shadowfax, The Horns of Rohan, The Battle of the Pelennor Fields, Dreams in the House of Healing, and Homeward Bound, The Scouring of the Shire. Here's Bo Hansson. Thank you. You're listening to the voice of Middle Earth, music for your journey there and back again. That was, of course, Bo Hansson from his 1970 LP, Lord of the Rings. With Sten Bergmund on flute, Gunnar Bergsten on saxophone, Rune Carlson on drums and congas, and Bo Hansson playing organ, guitar, moog, and bass. Here's a song by Paul Weal from New Hampshire. The Jabberwock. Toad the Wet Sprocket with Hobbit on the Rocks. You're listening to the voice of Middle-earth. This is Green Man Took, and here are some thoughts on the mythology of the Green Man. When we hear the word mythology, we always think of stories, fables, fairy tales. But myth is not make-believe. Myth is based on true events and real people. Mircea Eliade defined myth as alive in the sense that it supplies models for human behavior, and by that very fact gives meaning and value to life. It was only the predominance of the Christian thinking that myth came to mean fiction and illusion, and worse, falsehood. Green has been known for untold ages as the color of the fairy. Green was so universally recognized as the color of the fairy that many in Scotland refused to wear it, as to do so would be to invite the anger of fairy folk. Greenies or green coaties were common euphemisms in Britain for the fairy. Green was a color shunned by many as being associated with evil fairies and witches. But why green? Green is also associated with nature, with ripening life, with fertility, and that is the reason. During the formation of Christianity, nature was seen to exist for the pleasure and consumption of man. That nature should exist as an entity unto herself, with powers beyond man's, was a thought that put fear into many people. Later, nature was viewed as evil, and anything associated with nature was seen in a similar way. The fact that green represented the power and fertile life of nature slowly came to be associated with evil, and thus pagan, forms bent on the torment of mankind. Sam Keen states, "We need to reinvent our myths from time to time. The stories we tell ourselves determine who we become, who we are, and what we believe." He also says that the organizing myth of any culture functions in ways that may be creative or destructive, helpful or pathological. By providing a world picture and a set of stories that explain why things are the way they are, it creates consensus, sanctifies a social order, and gives the individual an authorized map of the path of life. Another mythologist, Phil Cousineau, states that myth creates the plot line that organizes the diverse experiences of a persona or a community into a single story. Myths come from that same place that dreams and art come from. They bubble up from the depths of the soul. They can't be forced or constructed. If there are new ecological and hopeful myths bubbling up from the collective unconscious, to perhaps replace those that promote greed and consumerism, we need to honor them and encourage them in every way that we can. One of these ecological myths is the story of the Green Man. He has been part of our Western heritage for centuries. Depth psychologist Carl Jung says that archetypes are embedded in our collective unconscious, and these archetypes are shared by all. That is why we find very early images of the Green Man in Iraq and all over Europe. His face, which has leaves sprouting from the lips, eyes, nose, and ears, can be seen on buildings and signs throughout Europe that date back to the Middle Ages. He is a combination of man and nature. He shows us that we can never be separate from the natural world, that we are part of the earth. He signifies impressible life and represents the human longing for the natural world. He is an image from the depth of prehistory, and his origins are much older than our Christian era, and he is still honored today in England and Europe in May Day festivals where he is evoked to bring a bountiful growing season. Many indigenous people saw the Green Man as a spirit of the woods. He appears in art, stories, and folk plays from the Middle Ages, and they continue on to the present time. The Green Man was the central figure in May Day celebrations and was often called the King of May. May 1st is seen as the time to honor the Green Man, to ensure the success of the crops and bring forth the fruits and vegetables. The maypole featured in these festivities represents the connection between heaven and earth, and the children winding the ribbons around the pole depict the endless pattern of creativity that connects them to the god and goddess. So why and how does evoking the particular image of the Green Man give us hope for our future? In 1992, in his book, The Voice of the Earth, Theodore Roszak coined the term ecopsychology, which is the study of our emotional bond with the earth. Rozak wrote that there is a synergistic relationship between planetary and personal well-being, that the needs of the one are entwined with the other. Mental health cannot be understood simply in the narrow context of ourself or social relations. It has to include the relationship of humans to other species and the ecosystem. Our relationship with the Earth has a long and deep evolutionary history. Humans are dependent on healthy nature not only for our physical sustenance, but for our mental health as well. Jung offered this theory of compensation, that an archetype will reappear in a new form to redress imbalances in a society at a particular time when it is needed. According to the theory, the green man is rising up into our present awareness in order to counterbalance a lack in our attitude toward nature. Science is predicting that in this century, the torrid zones of the Earth will be reduced to desert, and close to a quarter of the Earth's human population will be reduced to a state of destitution as a consequence of the destruction of the Amazonian, African, and Indonesian rainforests. It's no wonder that the green man is returning at a time of such danger to his domain. He is reminding us of the union that ought to be maintained between humanity and nature. He is a symbol of hope, but he is also challenging us with difficult tasks, such as how to live in fruitful interchange with the environment. The Green Man shows his face today at Fairy, Green Man, and May Day festivals around the world. There we celebrate the natural world, the fecundity of all life, and humanity's connection to the Earth. We can personally celebrate the Green Man all year round by planting community gardens, planting bulbs in our home in the winter, maintaining a window box, or building a shrine to the Green Man in our yard. You only need a few pieces of wood, leaves, and twine to make a stick figure to bring the Green Man into your life. John Matthews, author of The Green Man, sums it up quite well. The Green Man's archetypal presence reminds us of other possibilities. By honoring the natural energy he personifies, we may yet find a way to reintegrate ourselves into our natural environment. If we succeed, we will certainly find the Green Man waiting for us, holding out the hand of friendship as we envision the possibility of a new earthly paradise, or at least a rediscovering the lost greenness of our own souls. In the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien, Treebeard and the Ents embody the spirit of the Green Man, as does Tom Bombadil with his magical Goldberry, both of whom seem completely immersed in the cycles of nature, living fearlessly in harmony with the world around them. The energy of Sauron could be the destructive energy that we are facing now in our times, because as Sauron is defeated, the world blooms again and gardens grow rich and bountiful all over Middle Earth. I'm going to play a set of music celebrating the Green Man, starting with Martin Donnelly.
The Easter sun, it cuts my eyes open to the wind and rain. All around the earth breathes deep, I come alive again. I am the green man of the woods, the wounded and the broken land. I am the fire in the red stag's eye, the touch of a lover's hand. Of a lover's hand. Oh, let me speak, lend me your tongue to sing the trees and streams, sing the dark blood of the hills, the moon on goose's wing. I am the green man of the woods, the wounded in the broken land. I am the fire in the red stag's eye, the touch of a lover's hand, of a lover's hand. Oh, if you meet me in the fields, don't you be alarmed. I come to bring you joy, I'll do you no harm. Let us dance beneath the stars, the pale moon in our eyes, and celebrate the mysterious that keeps us all alive. Keeps us all alive. To rise from the wraths and thorns, return now from exile deep, back where we belong. I am the green man of the woods, the thistle and the corn, the spark in every creature's heart, the dancer in the storm. I am the green man of the woods, the thistle and the corn, the spark in every creature's heart, the dancer in the storm, the dancer in the storm.
They say your body's a temple. Look after what's good to you. Restore balance for health. Love and heal for well. Restore balance and be a green man. Restore. Let colored light into your dreams. Restore balance and heal, green man. Restore balance and heal, green man. Green man. Restore balance and heal, green man. Restore balance and heal, green man.
Green man, show goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. So tune in to the Voice of Middle Earth, music for your journey there and back again.
When the sun is out, children sing in the vale. When the sky is gray, my soul is dark as a whale. Calmly we await the cyclone's vernal retreat. Nestled access fame, but bring him around again for warmer weather's bar on autumn's broken scar. Nestled together like birds, close on a high.
Band known as Appendix Out with Cyclone's Vernal Retreat. This is Green Man Took. You're tuned to the Voice of Middle Earth. If you're curious about the Green Man set, we heard Martin Donnelly with the Green Man, then Sandy and Rob Shrigley with Heal Green Man, and Jennifer Cutting's Ocean Orchestra, Green Man. I want to thank you for listening to these podcasts. We have one more program before we go on hiatus. This has been The Voice of Middle Earth, number 9. And we're going to close out with Nick Morey and the Middle Earth Ensemble with I Call Upon You, wishing you many blessings and many, many journeys. Thank you.
ocean in the wind. And your fire is higher than mine, my light is brighter upon you. And I call upon you, you have more strength. And my love has grown deeper in time, I'm left now with you in my mind. And who's to say this journey is complete? We have yet much to learn. The light will shine within. High the fire, being so close. High between the lines, and I know you well. You've been the fire in my eyes. Inside in your fire, and the one you
to her, and the bird will fly high, high.